Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, look in verses 1 through 7 with me tonight, please. Exodus chapter 40, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. And what you've just read there is the what's going on right around the tabernacle that's out in the wilderness. And Exodus, leading up to this from probably chapter 25, is just all about the construction of these things. Mention then of the golden calf in chapter 32. They have to square all that out and then go back to the construction of this stuff. So what you have basically is if you were looking at the tabernacle from an overview, and our direction then would be from the east coming this way, which is the orientation we are right now, north here, south here, west there. So coming in, if you came into the court of the tabernacle, you would see the brazen laver. The brazen altar. Then you'd see the brazen laver. Then you'd see the door to the tent. And when you walked inside, you'd see the table of showbread on the right. You'd see the candlestick on the left. Right in front of you, you would see the altar of incense. And then there would be a veil separating the holy place from the most holy place. And on the other side of that veil, the Ark of the Testimony, covered by the mercy seat. That's what you've read about here. And so we want to talk a little bit about that tonight in this context. The way to God, the way to God. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. What a blessing to sing praises to you, to be in fellowship with the believers, to be able to hear what's going on around the world with missionaries, some of the ones we've talked about tonight, to be able to spend some money that's been given to the church for missions, to be able to help some folks with special needs. Lord, we look forward to your glory and the abundant thanksgivings to you. We also look forward to hearing good reports of medical needs being met and missionaries getting necessary treatment and necessary projects done. We really look forward to the gears just doing the work that they're doing. Maybe even right now wondering, wow, how's this budget going to work between now and the time we're supposed to go home, receiving something that takes care of a very special need for them. Lord, we thank you so much for that. And thank you, as we've said tonight, how much you've done for us through the work they've done with us. Now we pray tonight that you will open our understanding of the Scriptures and help us to see not only practically what you've done here in erecting this tabernacle and the articles that are in it, but more importantly, the picture that we see about a way to God. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you approach this tabernacle in the court, then the first thing you're going to come to is the brazen altar. And that, in the list of things we read in Exodus chapter 40, is actually in verse 6. Thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And then the next thing you'll come to is the laver, which is in verse 7. And thou shalt set the laver. The laver, we say lavatory. It's just it's a great big bowl. And in it is water, and the priests and the Levites that are offering sacrifices, the priests that are going inside of the tabernacle, wash in that water that's in that laver. And you get inside and you see the table of showbread. That's in verse 4. Thou shalt bring in the table and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. Now you're just reading the summary. as the thing is being constructed. So you don't see it called the table of showbread here. You just see it called the table. And then you see the candlestick, which would be on the south side. Thou shalt bring in the candlestick and the light the lamps thereof. And there's no real description of it here because that's earlier in Exodus. And then you'll see the altar of incense. Verse 5, thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. So those are the things inside. And then you see in verse 3, the ark of the testimony, and that is covered with the mercy seat. What we want to look at is, as you approach this tabernacle, what you have to go through to get to the mercy seat. God appears to the high priest on that mercy seat once a year when he comes in with blood and anoints that that mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. God is there, and then God speaks to him off the mercy seat in that place. And so he's got to go through, basically, these various articles, the altar for the burnt offering, the laver, the table of showbread, the candlestick, the altar of incense, and then through the veil to that. What does that picture? Well, there are a number of things that it pictures, but what we want to talk about is this, the way to God, which is perfectly pictured in this tabernacle. And the way to God is, first of all, through the way of sacrifice. It's through the way of sacrifice. In verse 6, when you read about that altar of the burnt offering, we can read a little bit more about it if we'll go back to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. In Exodus chapter 29, in verse 38, in case it's been a little while since you've been in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 29, verse 38, now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning and according to the drink offering thereof. For a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto you. So this altar, there's something going on every morning and every evening. You'll also read in Leviticus, there are many other kinds of offerings that are offered on that altar. The burnt offering, the sin offering, the peace offerings, the trespass offerings, the thanksgiving offerings. All those kinds of things are offered on that as well. But if there's nobody bringing an offering on a day, they are offering a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the evening. And what it is, it shows you that the way to God is through the sacrifice. And here, a clean animal had to be sacrificed on behalf of the person bringing it and had to be sacrificed continually in the Old Testament. Well, we know something. If you want to get to God, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to get to God, you come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Many years ago, I gave a Bible to a fellow that was reading it, and he was awestruck by it because he'd never read it. And he called me regularly to ask me questions about it. When he got to this part of the scripture here in Exodus and in Leviticus, he's, man, this is a bloody book. But he got to Psalms and he called me and he said, are they still offering sacrifices on the altar in Israel? And I said, no, they're not. He goes, well, that's very interesting. You know what that tells me? I said, what does that tell you? He said, that tells me that Jesus Christ was the last sacrifice for sin required by God. That is the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Eventually, that guy got saved. He wasn't saved up to that point. And he was already in his mid-50s, which was a remarkable thing. Well, we here tonight know you cannot have access to God's mercy. The mercy seat's inside that. You can't have access to God's mercy without the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you want to make any progress toward God, you have to humble yourself and come through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And that's why we emphasize when we preach the gospel here, a man can't be good enough. There's no man good enough. There was a sacrifice offered And you got to go through that. And then we notice, again in Exodus chapter 40, that the next article was that laver, which is in verse 7. Thou shalt set the laver. That laver, that brazen laver, is filled with water. There's a description of it in Exodus chapter 30, verse 18. I'll just give you a little rundown on it in case you need a refresher. Exodus chapter 30, verse 18. Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein, and Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. So the second thing then, if you want to talk about the progress toward coming to God or the way to God, is the way of sanctification. The first is the way of sacrifice, and the second is the way of sanctification. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Look at a little scripture tonight when we go through this study, the way of sanctification. The priest washed at the laver. God would not let them handle the sacrifices. God would not let them come into the tabernacle without being clean. He wouldn't allow them to come in without being clean. Well, notice, when Jesus Christ died, that sacrifice that was given of Jesus Christ, was that just for you and me that are in here? No, that sacrifice of Jesus Christ was for everybody. But does everybody get saved by that sacrifice? Not if they don't receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. So now notice what Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says. And we're going to look at this because you're going to notice the word washing is in the context. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, watch it, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So when you get saved, it's not just a matter of you having your sins forgiven. And it's not just a matter of you having your sins paid for. When you were saved, you were washed, called the washing of regeneration. You were washed when you were regenerated. God cleaned you up. He did something in you that changed who you are. Look at it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is profound here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look with me in verse 9. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, is letting them know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Wow, that's a lot of people. And the list could go on. Because he said the unrighteous at the beginning of that list, he said, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch it, verse 11, very important. And such were some of you. But ye are, what's the next word? Washed or washed, depending on how you speak. You are washed, but you are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So God cleaned you up. And that's a bad bunch in there, abusers of themselves, of mankind. You know, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, all that stuff that's on there. I dare say that if we could really sit down and open your book, if we could go back and find the record, it's not there anymore, but if you could find the record, we're in this list here tonight. We're in this list here tonight. And he said, ye are washed. In other words, he didn't just pay for your sins. He didn't just forgive you of your sins. He washed you up in regeneration. That's a wonderful thing. Why? Because he wants you clean when you come to him. Now, may I tell you something? What did that priest do every time he went in there? He had to wash his hands and feet. What did Jesus Christ do to the disciples before his crucifixion? He said, I'm going to wash your feet. And he said, because you're going to need that. You know what? Jesus Christ, when we come to the Father seeking mercy, He wants us clean. He wants us clean. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. When you live in this world, your thought life is enough to dirty you. But your thought life and the things you hear, the things you see, the things you say, sometimes the things you do, they defile you. And so in 2 Corinthians 7:1, the Lord said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So when the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what He's saying? When you come to me as my child to talk to me about things, I want you cleaned up. And you see that in the picture of this tabernacle. I want you saved, of course, but clean yourself up. Don't come in here like a rascal. Get clean and stay clean. The way of sanctification. The Lord really, really wants that and emphasizes that in the construction and the setting up of the tabernacle. Then go back to Exodus chapter 40. Sometimes, you know what you'll find in a little study like this? You'll say, well, I didn't really learn anything I didn't already know. But you know what the Lord will do? He'll make an application to you, and you're like, you know what? I have noticed a distance between me and the Lord, and I saw tonight the reason was I've left some filth on myself, and if I'd just clean up a little bit, things would go better. It's exactly what it's for. Exodus chapter 40, in verse 4, thou shalt bring in the table and set in order the things, whatever those are, that are to be set in order upon it. Well, we can go to Exodus chapter 25, verse 30, and we see something about the things. Does your wife ever say with you're like in another room, or you're turned looking at something and she's behind you, could you bring me that thing? Mine does. Well, just what thing is that you might be wanting? I can't see you. What am I supposed to do with this thing? The Lord over here, He's the same way. Set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. Okay, good. What's that? Well, He tells you here in verse 30 of Exodus chapter 25, thou shalt set upon the table showbread. Now, notice in verse 29, there's also dishes and spoons and covers and bowls and all that other kind of stuff. But look at this thing here. Thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway. Well, that's interesting. Some people say shoebread. I don't do that because I wear shoes and I don't want to sound like Ed Sullivan. Only those of you who've been alive a while know what that used to sound like. We have a really good shoe for you tonight when he's talking about a show. Anyway, but if you look that word up, S-H-E-W is actually pronounced show. We were doing a Bible baseball one time up at the Pot of Gold, and one of the kids was doing his memory, and he pronounced the word show. And the guy said, "Nope, you're down." And I'm like, don't kick him out for that. He pronounced it right. If you look it up in the dictionary, you can pronounce it shoe or show. He still made him sit down. I'm bitter about it to this day. Showbread. All right, what is that all about, the showbread? Look in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5 through 9. Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof, 2/10 deals, that's a measure, a measurement, shall be in one cake, and thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. 6 in a row. 12 cakes of bread, 6 in a row. 66. What are you holding in your hand? You're holding bread. There's 66 books in that Bible you got there. It's very interesting. Very interesting how all this lays out. Anyway, he says, this is the continual showbread. It's there always. And it's to be refreshed continually. Jesus Christ, when he was tempted by the devil, said to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you want to make your way to God, you got to be in this book. You know, it's an amazing thing how Christians neglect time with the Lord. But in an emergency, buddy, they want everybody in the world who is on their Facebook page praying for them. That's an amazing thing. And you know something? How did Solomon say this? He said, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You want to make a way to God, you need to really come by the way of this book. You got to spend some time in this book. What did he say? Continually. That bread was there all the time. And this bread is here. That bread was Aaron and his sons. They ate it. We're supposed to eat these words here that are in this book. You just don't even realize how crippled you are in your relationship with the Lord when you're trying to make your way to God without being in this book. And I'll tell you why. When you read this Bible and then you talk to the Lord, he brings these verses back to you. And this is how he talks to you. This is how he gives you direction. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's how he orders your steps. And you've got to be in here. This bread, this Bible also, it is also like the sanctification process. It's in that sanctification process, we're washed with regeneration. We're washed by the Spirit of God. We're washed by the blood of the Lamb. But you know something? That Bible says, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. It just has a remarkable effect. So your way to God is through the way of sacrifice, through the way of sanctification, through the way of the Scripture. Through the way of the Scripture. If you want to get close to God, get in this book. I mean, that is the way to do that. You say, well, I don't know that I know that much about it. Listen, you know what God will want you to know about it. And you may not be able to hold a Bible study or deal with all the doctrinal truth or even discuss contradictions and errors. But boy, if you can hear from God, you've got all you need. All you need. It's wonderful, the way of the Scripture. And then back in Exodus chapter 40, we notice that that table of showbread is over on the north side as you enter from the east. And the candlestick is on the south side as you enter from the east. And in verse 4, thou shalt bring in the table and set in order the things that are set upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick and light the lamps thereof. All right, well in Exodus chapter 25, I'll show you what he's doing here. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 31. He describes what this candlestick looks like. And he says in Exodus 25:31, thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And then he goes through a very thorough description of what that thing looks like. Turn to Leviticus chapter 24 and verses 2 through 4 and notice what's happening with this candlestick. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 2 through 4. Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light. That's an amazing thing. The candlestick is beaten and so is the oil that's in it. Pure oil, olive, beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn continually. Just like the showbread is on the table continually, the lamp burns continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. They never go out. They never go out. If you want to get to God, the way of God is also through the way of the Spirit. And that candlestick pictures the Holy Spirit of God. What are you reading? You read the Bible. That's the table of showbread. How do you understand what you're reading? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know who that is that's doing that? That's the Spirit of God. When Jesus Christ was talking about the Spirit coming, He said, He shall guide you into all truth. And so that's what the Spirit does. He sheds light on the Word of God. Also, it's important for us to understand this. When you approach God, you want to be filled with the Spirit of God. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, this is olive oil that's on Him. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and look at verse 13. The way to God is through the way of sacrifice. Get saved. The way of sanctification. Get clean, stay clean. The way of the Scripture, stay in the book. The way of the Spirit, be filled with that Spirit. Be anointed with that Spirit of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. The Spirit of God came on him. Have you ever read the Psalms? That tremendous treasure of Scripture, much of which was written by David, and much of it is prophetic about Jesus Christ, about His crucifixion, some about His resurrection, and a lot about His second coming. Where in the world do you ever think He got the idea to write that stuff down? That all came from the Spirit of God. And He was very, very close to the Lord. So the way to God is through the way of the Spirit. If you sense that there's distance between you and God. Remember I told you one time about going to see a neighbor in the hospital, and he said, yeah, there's a hill between me and God, I can't get to him. Might be that the trouble is you're not saved. When he got saved, he was already on the other side. It might be that you're not sanctified. It might be that you're not in the Scripture. It might be that you're not filled with the Spirit. See, that's what you're seeing in these articles here. And then finally, in Exodus chapter 40, there's one more thing, and it's that altar of incense that's right in front of the veil. It's right there in front of the veil. And this is in Exodus chapter 40, verse 5. Thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. So it's right in front of that veil of the tabernacle. And this is the way of supplication. Everything I'm giving you starts with an S, so it's easier to remember. This is the way of supplication. You want to get to God? You got to talk to God. And notice, if you come through the sacrifice, the sanctification, the Scripture, and the Spirit, your prayer life is going to notice a dramatic improvement. Okay? It's going to go from me, 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 and I, to you, and glory to God. He said, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, you go through all of that and make sure you've touched all those things. Your supplications will be far improved. Just for the sake of time, if you want to keep this down in your note, in Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 9, you can see what's going on with the altar of incense. But basically, it's just one cubit by one cubit. It's two cubits high. There's a network in it, and they put an incense on it. And he is same thing, just like with the showbread. There's something going on every morning and every evening on that altar to offer that incense before the Lord. Turn to Psalm 141 and look at verse 2. Psalm 141 and look at verse 2. The reason that the incense is a picture of your prayer life is this. Psalm 141 verse 2. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense. Have you ever smelled incense? At some other time than when you were a hippie? So, I mean, you know, some of it is disgusting, but actually it's got an aromatic smell. It's intended to smell good. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense. You know, and the lifting up of my hands is the evening sacrifice. When I think about this verse right here, I think about us today and Lysol. A lot of prayer today is psst. Hey, God, I need help. Psst. And we give him a shot of Yankee Candle or whatever you got, you know. Psst. And it smells good, but there's not much to it. What he wants is incense. Why, it burns a while. It's a savor. And the aroma fills not just the little deal, but all around the throne. Do you understand? That's something that's there a while and is very, very pleasant to the Lord. Not, oh God, I need help again. And he's like, hey, oh, I'll do it, but wow. you got anything better than that? Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3. And another angel, you know, people say today, I don't have time. It's amazing how much time you have when something goes wrong in your life. You got all kind of time to tend to that. Everything's humming. It's like you don't have time for God. It's amazing. I mean, we just have to think about this is the priority. You know, when the apostles got some disciples to help them in the ministration to the widows, they said that we may give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. It's interesting that they said, they didn't say the ministry of the word and prayer. They said prayer and the ministry of the word. And you see in the book of Acts, they spent a great deal of time in prayer. Acts chapter 8, verse 3, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Just ask yourself this question, is your prayer life enough to keep that fire burning? Is your prayer life enough that the incense, that the smoke of the incense can ascend up before God? Now, I realize the context of this has a lot to do with the tribulation, but it's a great picture for us. You want to make your way to God and really stay in His presence and have good fellowship, then you go through the way of supplication. That's where you really begin to enjoy the presence of the Lord. So the tabernacle was set up, if you notice back here in Exodus chapter 40, just something as we conclude this message. When was this tabernacle set up? It was set up on the first day of the first month. Now, I realize this is in the second year, but in the first day of the first month, in the first year, they're still in Egypt. They had to make their way out and all that. So and then they had to build all this. So as soon as they got it built, look at that, on the first day of the first month, do this. That's what he said. You know what? We ought to begin our lives that way. If you've heard something tonight and the Lord has addressed an area of need in your life, you know when to start this? Tomorrow morning or tonight, on the first day of the first month. It's a priority, not something that is you put off till later. You get with that right away. So I hope this has been a help to you. This is the way to God through these various things. Thank you, Father, for an opportunity to be able to see some inspiration in a passage of Scripture which for us might otherwise be dull. It's there's a whole lot of information in here that we don't even get to see today because that tabernacle is not here, but we know it was enough important to you that you would write as much as you did about it. Many pictures there, but this one very pertinent to us and helpful. So help us with it, we ask you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.